The reading today is taken from Micah chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. So Micah is on page 933 of the Church Bibles. So Micah chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, page 933. Marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. We will raise against them 7 shepherds, even 8 commanders, who will rule the land of Assyria with a sword, the land of Nimrod with drawn sword. He will deliver us from the Assyrians when they invade our land and march across our borders.
Thank you, Matt, very much indeed. Why don't we pray as we look at this passage together? Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give us encouragement and hope this morning. Please help us to see more clearly the Lord Jesus Christ from the Old Testament and see how it is true that he is the King and that we're right to be following him. We pray that you'd speak to each one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I've called this sermon today, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And what we're doing today is, as Johnny said, we're taking a pause from our series in Mark, and because we're coming up to Christmas, the Christmas events next week, we're looking at one Old Testament passage that helps us to see Jesus predicted in the Old Testament. Let's start with our verse again, and today we're just going to focus on this one verse and find some wonderful things to learn from it. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Hope. Whether we realize it or not, all of us are looking for hope, real, life-changing hope. When good things happen, like the birth of a child or new relationships, we catch a glimpse of it. But at other times, life can feel a real struggle and even a little hopeless. If that sounds familiar, that's how the video on our website for our Christchurch Huntingdon website begins. And we made a little video a few years ago with that theme of hope. We felt that hope was such an important topic that we wanted to major on it. And therefore, one of the very reasons for our church being here was to answer that question of hope. Now, isn't hope what the election candidates are promising this week? A new future that will sort out things better than the other parties? Isn't hope what the parcels under the tree are promising? Toys and gadgets and stuff that will improve our lives? Isn't hope what a new year promises? We always love it when the new year comes and the year changes from 2019 to 2020. Fresh starts and new possibilities, the possibility of hope. We all desperately long for hope. But Micah chapter 5 tells us actually where hope is to be found. Our joy has begun. Our search is over. This is what we are made for. Now, just a little bit of background on Micah. He's a small book in the Old Testament tucked in the middle there. You may not have ever read him before. So let me just give you one PowerPoint slide that will give you a little bit of background about his book. His name means who is like the Lord, Micah or Micaiah, and he actually weaves his own name into the book itself in chapter 7. He was speaking around 740 to 680 BC, so we're hundreds of years before Jesus, about the same time as Isaiah. And the book is 7 chapters long, and it's formed of 3 little cycles of judgment and hope. Judgment, because through each of the first section of these cycles, we get bad news focusing on sin. But then we get hope, we get good news focusing on a shepherd. So it's a very neatly packaged book with the bad news, the gathering clouds of judgment, but the good news in each of those sections focusing on a shepherd. And where are we? Well, we're in the good news today. We're in chapter 5. We're in the second cycle, in the second part of hope. And what we're going to see is that hope can be found in an amazing place, person, and plan. And all of this is in verse 2. So let's have a look at these things just briefly today. Verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. The first thing that we focus on is a place. And the place is Bethlehem. There's an old-fashioned photograph of the place, what I've called an insignificant place. Because look at the verse. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. O little town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem, which is about 8 miles or so south of Jerusalem, also known by another name, Ephrathah, which was also given to the area, the surrounding area around Bethlehem. Of course, for us, it's really famous because of Christmas, which is what we're thinking about, and because the most important person in history was born there. But for Micah at the time, it was just an insignificant town. Now, it was not unknown in the Old Testament because, of course, about 300 years before Micah's time, Samuel, who we thought about in a series earlier this year, anointed Jesse's youngest son to be the king. So it was the home of Naomi, Ruth, Boaz, Jesse, and David. It wasn't unheard of in the Old Testament, but it was a small and insignificant town. Back then, just probably a village. Even today, a smallish town. In fact, about the similar size today, Bethlehem is about similar size to Huntingdon. Wikipedia tells us there's about 25,000 people living there. It was just a small and insignificant town. It's a little bit similar to what we saw in 1 Samuel, which began with a certain man from an unknown town in the hill country and his childless wife. You see, this is God's trademark. God loves to work with difficult circumstances and little known places. It'd be a little bit like saying that the hope for the nation, for the general election 2019, is going to be found in Rodney Road in Huntingdon, or Falcon Drive in Hertford, or Hill Farm in Abbots Ripton, a little village outside Huntingdon. Now, apologies if you live in any of those places, but actually, Bethlehem wasn't widely known. It was just a small town. When they made a big list of all the towns in the area of Judah in Joshua chapter 15, there were about 100 towns that were listed. But Bethlehem was so small, it didn't even get a mention. Bethlehem is just an insignificant place. And I think there's a lesson for us here. Don't be surprised when God acts in surprising ways and in surprising places with the most unpromising of material. O little town of Bethlehem. 700 BC, it's just a small little village in the hills. Bethlehem 2019, this month there'll be thousands, hundreds of thousands of people flocking there to celebrate the birth of a child who was born there. I think there's a lesson for us if we're feeling a little bit low pre-Christmas. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if you're feeling a little bit low pre-Christmas. It's a tough time of year. There's a lot of bugs and germs flying around. Everyone's tired. It's been a long term. There's Christmas to look forward to, but Christmas can be a bit daunting as well with all that needs to be done. Maybe as you compare the flashy adverts on TV with how you feel your life's going at the moment, or perhaps the disappointments or discouragements of 2019, you don't feel very important, very flashy, very glamorous, very strategic. You're just an ordinary person from an ordinary place. Some of us have moved from the city of Cambridge, world known, world renowned, across the world for bringing famous people like Isaac Newton, etc. And maybe we feel, now I'm just living in Huntingdon, and I'm an ordinary person in an ordinary place. Well, Huntingdon is exactly the kind of candidate to be part of God's good plans. Let me show you an insignificant street in North London. I doubt anyone knows this, where this is. This is a street in Edmonton in North London. And Rod and Kate lived quite close to there, but this is, I think it's called Cheddingford Road. And it just looks like any other normal street with terraces of houses. But in one of those houses, the house on the left there, you could just see a round blue plaque above the door. Round blue plaques tell you that this is no ordinary house. There lived in this house a lady called Gladys Aylward. We might have mentioned her before. Gladys Aylward was a very small lady, here's a picture of her, who was a housemaid. She was very poor, she was very small, she was seemingly very insignificant. But you know, she was used in the most extraordinary ways by God in China. She saved all her life savings to buy a one-way ticket across Russia, across Siberia, through the snow. She nearly got eaten by wolves, all sorts of challenges. And she ended up in China, where she was amazed to see lots of other small people with dark hair like her. And she was very pleased because she didn't know why God made her small. But now she knew. God used her in incredible ways. You know, she took about 100 orphans over the mountains when the Japanese invaded China and rescued them physically from the bombs. She arrived overrun with sickness and nearly died on arrival. She spread the good news to hundreds, if not thousands, of people who traveled through her town. And God used her very significantly to bring many people to the Lord Jesus. Her story was made into a film starring Ingrid Bergman. And I think there's a wonderful contrast there. Actually, in the film, it was rather inaccurately retold in parts. And that glamorous lady, Ingrid, on the left, slightly misses the point that God uses very ordinary and normal people like us. Don't be discouraged if you feel a nobody living in a nobodyville, because hope is found in an insignificant place. And it was found in Bethlehem, in just a small town. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. And that takes us on to our second part, an insignificant place, but a unifying person. Out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. Now, at this point in history, Israel was divided into two, the tribes in the north and the tribes in the south. It was a very divided nation. Israel in the north and Judah in the south, but sometimes referred to both as Israel. And do you see what this king is going to do? First of all, we see that there's a king who's coming from Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. Normally we think of Jerusalem as the place for the king to be born. This was where the monarchy was at the time. Yes, it's where David originally came from. where the royalty first started out. And Micah is saying it's as if the royalty needs to be rebooted because the nation was divided. There was a king in the north, there was a king in the south. And as the pages of the New Testament go on, actually there's going to be no king. The whole of the monarchy will seemingly end. And we see in verse 1 that there's a problem with the monarchy in verse 1. Marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. There's a siege going on. They will strike Israel's ruler with a cheek. On the cheek with a rod. Israel's king is going to be struck. He's not even going to be able to defend his face because of the siege that is coming against God's people. So there's a problem with the monarchy. And yet here is the promise of a new king. A new king who's not going to be ruler in Israel, but ruler over Israel. And that's particularly significant. Because as I say, the people were very divided. The tribes in the north, the tribes in the south were divided. And here's going to be a ruler who unites the people, who's going to rule over both parts, and who's going to bring about great rule. Now, you get a hint of some of the things that this king is going to do in the rest of the chapter. So just follow me. We're going to do a little bit of a flick through the chapter. Look at some of the things that he's going to do. Verse 3. Is going to signal the end of the captivity, which was looming in Micah's day. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return. So in this king, there's going to be a homecoming. What a wonderful and beautiful thing. In this king, there's going to be a shepherd, verse 4. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. If you're feeling like a sheep that's gone astray this morning, well, good news. This king is a shepherd, and he's going to gather the people, and they're going to live securely. Verse 5, he's going to bring peace. He will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land. Even though there's going to be great disaster, there's going to be security through this king. In verse 6, there's great rescue. He will rule over the land of Assyria with the sword, the land of Nimrod with the drawn sword. He will deliver us from the Assyrians when they invade our land and march across our borders. There's going to be refreshment, which is pictured like dew on the ground, something that brings life and vitality. The remnant of Jacob will be in the midst of many peoples, like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass, which do not wait for anyone. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it, of vitality and life. And in verse 8 and 9, there's unstoppable triumph. And in verse 10 to 15, there's idols being destroyed as people return to God. So what an amazing king is going to come from Bethlehem. One who is going to be a ruler and one who's going to unify the people. Now, don't we live in the most divided of times? The referendum results 2016 was 51.9% leave, 48.1% remain. That's a knife edge. And has anything been sorted out over the last 3 years? We just seem to be more and more divided, don't we, over economics, immigration, healthcare, and of course, big topic now, climate change. And is it just me, or are people more happy to shout at politicians in the street and to disrespect one another? And to shout at one another within their own homes. Of course, we won't always agree with one another, but we can still be civil. And in our own town of Huntingdon, we've seen racism on the rise in recent years. And of course, in our own homes as well, anyone who's married will know that it's a battle to stay united. Misunderstandings and niggles can creep in, which can grow. And we need someone who can unify us. And it won't be Boris Johnson or Jeremy Corbyn. It will be a Prince of Peace who can bring together the people. Because as we've often said, especially in marriage prep, that as you grow closer to the center of the wheel, think of a bicycle wheel and the spokes, as you grow closer to the center, to Jesus, then actually you grow closer to one another. It's Jesus who can bring a divided nation together. It's Jesus that can bring a church together. It's Jesus who can bring marriages and friendships together, because he is a unifying ruler, a unifying person. Well, let's look at the last part of the verse before we finish. Hope is found in an insignificant place, a unifying person, and an ancient plan. Micah 5, verse 2 again. You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. This king is not some newfangled idea. According to our verse, he's been the plan since ancient times. Now, what's Micah referring to? Well, in chapter 7, he uses these same phrases of origins of old and ancient times, speaking of looking back into the Old Testament past, looking back to the promises of Abraham, looking back to the Exodus and the rescue of the out of Egypt, looking back to the king, King David, who will be promised. The whole of the Old Testament before this point is an ancient plan about the coming of a great rescue, focusing in a king from David's family. And even further than back, we could say from even older than ancient times, because we're looking at someone who existed even before the creation. We're thinking of a pre-existing king who John says is the Word became flesh, God stepping in to humanity. Here is the wonderful story of God's coming rescue that has been planned for centuries. And isn't that the point of this verse? 700 years before he came, Jesus was predicted to come to Bethlehem and who would unite the people. As we do more and more shopping online, we get more and more deliveries, don't we? And no doubt you've had a few Amazon or other deliveries getting ready for Christmas. I think it's quite helpful now that you get a message on your phone saying that your driver will be Steve and he will arrive between 11:43 and 12:43 and he will arrive to deliver your Amazon parcel. That precision really helps us to know who it is and why he's come so that we can answer the door and receive the parcel. And in the Old Testament, we have with great precision details about who this great hope is going to be. Even the exact village where he's going to be born. And therefore, we can be in no doubt when he comes who he is and what we should do with him. God has an ancient plan focusing on a person, a ruler, a king who's going to unite the people, coming from a place called Bethlehem. So we need to be in no doubt when the shepherds out in their fields hear a message of good news of a baby born in Bethlehem. We need to be in no doubt who it is. Just flick forward to John chapter 7. Now this is on page 1073. Because there's this wonderful debate in John's gospel when they're trying to weigh up whether Jesus really is the king. And maybe for some of us today, we're still in that place. We're still weighing up whether we should consider Jesus as the king. Page 1073. You've all found it quicker than me. I'm still going. 1073. At the top of the page, still others asked, how can the Messiah come from Galilee? This is John 7, verse 41. And they're having this big debate about Jesus because they know Jesus is a northerner. He's come from Galilee. Maybe he's got a northern accent. Certainly his followers, when Peter was denying Jesus, they knew that his accent betrayed him. He came from the north. And the people at the time are thinking, well, is Jesus really the king? Should I really stake my life on him? Should I really go out of my way to ask my friends to come and hear a message about Jesus Christ? Like, let's see the evidence. And the people say, hang on, how can the Messiah come from Galilee? This man, Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth is in the north. And Galilee is where he did his ministry, the smaller lake way up in the north of the country. Does not the scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived. You see, they knew the promise of Micah. Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. They're saying, look, hang on, Jesus is from the north and the Messiah comes from the south, from Bethlehem. And you feel like saying, well, hang on, guys, look at Jesus' birth certificate. Just flip back to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, back four books. Matthew chapter 2, shout out the verse, page number.
966.
966, brilliant. Now, do you remember that there was a very proud ruler of the Roman Empire who wanted a census of all the people, and so he said that people had to go back to their original hometown, and so a woman called Mary had to go all the way from back to Bethlehem to at exactly the wrong time when she should have been in the maternity ward having a baby, but instead she was on a donkey traveling to Bethlehem. Chapter 2, verse 1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Just checking you're all awake. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea. That wasn't an accident. It wasn't an accident that they decided to have a census right at that moment so that all the families had to go back to their original towns. Galilee's in the north, but Jesus was born in the south. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was born in David's town because he grew up as part of David's family. He's the one that we've been waiting for. This king is Jesus. Hope is found in an insignificant place, in a unifying person, in an ancient plan that has been written even 700 years before Jesus came along. If you're looking for hope under the Christmas tree, well, yes, there'll be some wonderful toys and some wonderful presents and trinkets and all sorts of things, but they will break and the gifts will fade and they'll probably get trodden on by the end of the day and they will disappoint. If you're looking for a solution and for hope in politics, governments will come and they'll go and they'll reverse the decisions of their predecessors. Now, I'm not saying that to suggest that we shouldn't be respectful of our politicians, nor that we shouldn't pray for them. We certainly should. But we won't find hope there. I even wonder whether the current difficulties that we're facing in our parliament are just a little reminder to people that we can't put our hope in politics. Even if we're looking for hope in a new relationship of some sort, we will be sadly disappointed. Because even in good places like family, there will one day be death. But in the little town of Bethlehem, in the dark streets of Bethlehem, shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Who? Well, for Christ is born of Mary. An insignificant place, a unifying person, an ancient plan who's been promised for hundreds and hundreds of years. Jesus really is the Messiah in whom we find hope of everlasting life and forgiveness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've only looked at one prophecy about Jesus from the Old Testament today, but there are so many more that we could have looked at to add to this. And yet, even in this one verse, we see the promise of a ruler coming according to your plan from Bethlehem. And we thank you, Lord, that you are in control of politics and you organize politics to get Mary to her hometown so that Jesus could be born in Bethlehem. Even in the lowly stable. We thank you that Jesus is such a wonderful king, such a humble and lowly king, that he should come for people like us. ordinary people from ordinary places. Please help us to cling on to him through all the ups and downs of life and through all the ups and downs of winter, that we might put our hope in him alone, in our great ruler who came from Bethlehem. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.